to mother. It requires fierce courage, heroic stamina, selfless giving, sometimes sacrifice, intelligence, creativity, and the organizational skills of a CEO. Mothers come in all shapes and sizes. There are mothers who are warm nurturers, and there are mothers that are cold destroyers, and everything between those two points. There are absent mothers who may be in prisons or hospitals, or absent from their children because they are working in another country in order to support their children. Or they may be in a war far away. And there are, of course, emotionally absent mothers, but there are also emotionally present mothers. And sometimes they are emotionally and physically present for children who are not even their own children, such as teachers and guides, mentors, aunts, neighbors. And there are fathers who are mothers. Today I'm going to talk about complicated creative mothers. And maybe they all are. But today I'm going to be describing my mom and Margaret Fuller, Angelo's mom, and the mother of all mothers, the goddess Kali. So I'm going to begin by dipping back into our Unitarian history, back to before my grandmother's time, a time crammed full of complicated mothers changing the world. And there's so many to choose from. But I've chosen Margaret Fuller this morning, who I may have talked about once before. Margaret Fuller was surrounded by Unitarian ministers in the mid-1800s. She was a close friend and confidant to Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau and Theodore Parker, all very notable Unitarian ministers of her time. She and they were known as the Transcendentalists, those crazy enthusiasts who changed and challenged the religion of their day, calling the old established ministers corpse cold and opening the doors of the churches and inviting everybody outside to experience religion firsthand in the beauty of nature. I quote this description of Margaret, which comes from the introduction to The Spirit Leads, Margaret Fuller in her own words, by Barry Andrews. In it he writes, "Religious radical, avant-garde cultural critic, feminist, progressive social theorist, investigative journalist, war correspondent, public intellectual. By any measure, Margaret Fuller was a remarkable woman." That sounds pretty positive. So let me show you, read for you another description of her from the Unitarian Universalist Women Liberating History. "Fuller was a formidable, intelligent, socially eccentric young woman who is either intensely disliked or intensely liked, but who could not be ignored." So you put those two things together, and I think what you get is a complicated woman. Fuller took it on herself to challenge Emerson and the group of Transcendentalists to think of women as equal to men. Very challenging at that particular time in history. Equal in intelligence, in power, and in influence. And she also challenged the women of her day to those same high standards. And she wrote an extraordinary book, the first book or major work of women, of feminism, in the 19th century, called Women in the 19th Century, in which she called for legal, social, political, educational, and vocational equality between men and women, based on religious faith in the equality of all souls before God. Now, some of her ideas would be considered modern, even today. One such idea was that each person had both masculine and feminine traits in their character, and she called it the inner queen and the inner king. She wrote, "Male and female represent two sides of the great radical dualism. It is our work, she said, to bring together in the sacred marriage what we might call today wholeness, the internal king and queen, that they might rule together in the human soul. In 1846, she sailed off to Europe to cover the Italian Revolution as a correspondent for the Tribune. She became personally involved in the fight for Italian independence and then fell in love with a fellow revolutionary, Giovanni Ossoli. 2 years later, after an extraordinary life filled with accomplishments, at the age of 38, Margaret became a mother to Angelo. It was extremely unusual in that day and age for a woman so late in life to become a mother and face the risk of having that first child so late. Welcome and come on in if you wish. It was also, in my mind, recklessly romantic. On their return to North America, unfortunately, tragedy struck. The ship's captain died in a fierce storm, and the first mate didn't have the skill to steer the boat to shore. And it crashed and broke up into pieces on a sandbar just off Fire Island, New York. And all three died, and their bodies were never found. Margaret Fuller, one of the most important Unitarian Universalist ancestors, brought to life not only her son Angelo, but countless hearts and minds to the knowledge that we are all equal, male and female, immigrant and citizen, slave or free. Margaret was born a complicated woman. I'm drawn to her insight that we have both a king and queen energy in us, both masculine and feminine characteristics. Now, I encountered this insight, sort of stumbled on it out of desperation on my own when I was about 17 or 18 years old. I remember walking down the cobbled streets of old Montreal, which is where I lived and went to school at the time, in a very chaotic, stressful, emotional turmoil, because I'd been told that I was not normal. I was not a normal girl. I was too strong. I was too big, which was true. But I was also delicate and quiet and shy and small. Well, I knew these were all true for me, but I was told that I didn't fit into the way girls were supposed to be. So it all boiled down to this moment, walking on those cobbled streets in old Montreal, struggling with defining my gender, what we call today gender identity. Was I more male than female? More boy-like than girl-like? I felt I had to choose like one or the other. If I was so strong, why did I feel so delicate and soft? And then all of a sudden, that some wise part of me responded. And I heard that inner voice saying, "You're both and." You are all of that. You are soft and strong. You are both masculine and feminine. It's not a box. It's a spectrum. That was a great epiphany for me. One might call it grace. It was a great release from that simplistic definition of what defines a woman and by extension, what defines a man. If I'd only read Margaret Fuller, you know, 150 years earlier, she'd already got that. I love the fact that there is that, in her words, that inner marriage between those two parts that are not separate. When I told my mom I was doing a service on complicated mothers, her response was, "Well, I am." I said, "Yes, I know that." My mother is a creative builder. She's tough and inspiring, passionate and generous. She can dazzle and she can scare you. She can raise a lot of money She was the first woman in Canada to run a children's theater company and the first woman artistic director of a regional theater company in Canada and the first woman to run the National Theater School in Montreal. She's produced plays that broke barriers, plays that incorporated rock bands and became happenings, plays that presented semi-naked wrestlers, plays that spoke to the Aboriginal story and used for the first time true Aboriginal actors. She produced the first play in Vancouver that showed two men kissing and came very close to getting fired for that. And when she got to be 65, she realized that there was very little work for older actors and a great deal of ageism in the industry, so she birthed Western Gold, first theater company dedicated to professionals over 55. Then she saw that aging actors were dying alone, and so she raised a few million dollars and built the Performing Arts Lodge, not obviously completely by herself. To house creative professionals who are aging. And that's where she lives today. She's been called a national treasure and accumulated many honorary degrees, such as the Order of Canada and the Governor General's Award. That's my mom. So when I was 20, I walked into a room at a party where there were four women who had gone in to leave their coats. And they were all talking about my mother. Now, these were strong women. These were heads of theater companies, a city councillor, and they were bonding on their shared experience that not one of them had ever had the courage to say no to my mother. She did not fit the mold of the traditional mother and was judged by some, oh yes, who tisked her version of motherhood. I can tell you, though, if you had a cause or you need to raise money or if you have an enemy, you definitely want someone like my mother on your side. She also has more than a touch of the goddess Kali energy in her. Kali, interesting goddess. If you look at the front cover of your order of service, and if you could share them around so perhaps the gentleman that just came in can see. I think this is the most perfect picture of a complicated woman. This is the Hindu goddess Kali, the wife of Lord Shiva. And here she's depicted standing on the prone body of Lord Shiva, half naked, voluptuous breasts, wearing a necklace of severed heads, and brandishing a sword dripping with blood. Notice if you have any judgments about this. She's known as the goddess of destruction. She's also known and revered as a loving mother goddess. And because of her complexity, at least in North America, she's often misunderstood, feared, judged, and dismissed. Not unlike the way society reacts to complicated women. Society likes nice, neat boxes, simple definitions, and I suspect that you will never see this image gracing the front of a Hallmark card for Mother's Day. Let me tell you her story. The goddess Kali is an incarnation of Parvati, the consort of Lord Shiva. She assumed the form of Kali in order to save the world from the demon Raktabija. I may be saying that completely wrong. The gods tried to kill this demon, but they could not because every drop of the demon's blood that touched the ground transformed itself into another demon 1,000 times stronger. Within a few minutes of striking this demon, the entire battlefield was covered with millions of Raktabaja clones, and in desperation, the gods, well, they turned to Shiva, the Lord Shiva, but Shiva was deep in meditation. And they didn't want to disturb him. Hence, they pleaded with his consort, Parvati, for her assistance. The goddess immediately set out to do battle with this dreaded demon in the form of Kali. Her eyes were red, her complexion dark, her features gaunt, and her hair unbound, her teeth sharp like fangs. As the eight-armed goddess rode into the battlefield on her lion, Raktabaja experienced fear for the first time in his demonic life. Callie ordered the gods to attack him. She then spread her tongue out to cover the entire battlefield in order to prevent a single drop of his blood from falling to the ground. Thus she prevented Raktavaja from reproducing himself, and the gods were able to slay the demon. But she had ingested all this demon blood. She was drunk and out of control on this demon blood, and she raced across the cosmos, killing everyone and anything who dared to cross her path. She adorned herself with the heads and the limbs and entrails of her victims. The gods were witnessing the balance of the universe being shattered. As a last resort, they went to Shiva and roused him from his meditation. And he, in order to stop her, shock her back into reality, back to her real self, laid himself under her feet. That's the picture that you see on the front cover. Callie then was shaken awake, realized what had happened, embraced her husband, and shed her ferocious form. My mother, Margaret Fuller, and many women like them, who pick up the challenge of life and run with it, as Callie did, like Callie, are empowered. And I suggest with a capital E. If we think back to the idea of Margaret Fuller that put forward that each of us have that king and queen energy in us, I would suggest that my mom definitely has a lot more of the king energy than the queen energy as a mother. Fuller described the king as energy, power, intellect, and the queen as harmony, beauty, and love. This idea, though we might dispute the definitions of the way she described it, but this idea that we all have us in attributes of masculine and feminine, we find in the philosophy of yin and yang and Taoism. We also find it in the 20th century work of Carl Jung as the anima and the animus. And I would suggest that the goddess Kali also personified in her being those two masculine and feminine traits. Being a daughter of this kind of mother is a gift, truly, but it's also a challenge. A mother with a lot of king energy gives one a very direct, powerful view on the world, and she'll tell you, or simply demonstrate, that women have a responsibility to be fully involved in this world. There are all kinds of mothers, complicated and uncomplicated. Let me end by saying how important it is that we celebrate and acknowledge motherhood and mothering. First of all, we need to celebrate our very own existence, right? Someone nurtured our fetal selves, pushed us out into the world, fed us, protected us the best they could. We need to acknowledge that someone in our lives has been trying to teach us that we are worthy of love. For many, that love is instilled in us through our mothers and our fathers from the moment that we enter the world. For many others, we've been introduced to love and loving in our communities through our grandmothers and our grandfathers who love with such sweet and expansive love. For others, that love was mirrored in us in the extended family. The teachers, the counselors, the mentors, and the church that surrounded us. We all need to know that we are loved and worthy of love. And if this first lesson is not known, then we need to learn how to mother ourselves. We must learn how to be caring and tender with our precious bodies and our tender hearts. We need to learn how to make the world safe for ourselves so that we can practice trusting. And we need to learn to play that we can develop a capacity for joy and celebration and pleasure. Finally, we need to take these lessons out into the world and care for and nurture the community that we live in, the society, and the earth. Another kind of mother. Remembering that there are many ways to love, many ways to mother, soft and nurturing is only one side of that mothering coin. There's also the need to set limits, create boundaries, and protest and protect from destructive forces and learn to say no. And sometimes a mother is blazing the way for a lot more than just her own personal family. So be it.